Amen. Thank you, young man. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. Looking at a fresh start this morning. I don't know if you've had to write the date yet. If you've messed up, if you've correctly put it at 2011. It's always hard for me to get used to writing a new year. Joshua chapter 24, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you have given to us. We do thank you for a fresh new year. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would empower us to faithfully serve you this year, whatever time you give us, whether the Lord would come back today, tonight, this week, this month, this year, or whether you would give us another year to serve you. I pray that whatever the case, that we would be found faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. There are a lot of people that started out this new year with good intentions. And I hope we were some of those, that we started out this year with good intentions. Maybe to be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better son, a better daughter, a better worker, a better servant of the Lord. I pray that we started out this year with some good intentions. And I mean, even people of the world, even lost people, start out many times New Year's with good intentions. Some of them, no doubt, started out this year, well, once it got here, saying, I'm not going to drink, or I'm not going to have a problem. I'm not going to drink too much in 2011, like maybe they did in 2010. There's probably a lot of people that say, this year, I'm going to quit smoking. Probably a lot of people are going to say, this year, I'm going to get off drugs. This year, I'm going to be faithful and not be immoral. This year, I'm not going to steal. A lot of all kinds of things. People start out with good intentions. But sometimes good intentions quickly go by the wayside, don't they? Notice with me in Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. People can start out with good intentions and quickly degenerate and fail. In Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes 7:20. The Bible says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I was just thinking about as we began to read through the Bible again, Adam and Eve. Talk about a fresh beginning. Everything was new. Everything. Everything was new. But they sinned against the Lord. They both sinned. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Some of these people in these holiness groups think they get to a point where they never sin. Well, they just lied. As soon as they say, I don't sin anymore, well, there's a sin. Because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. Well, we don't want to fall into sin. We want to have good intentions for 2011, and we want to fulfill those good intentions. So, how can we do it? How can we help? Where can we find help? Well, first thing is reading the Bible. Notice in Psalm 119, the first place to go is the Word of God. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 9. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. So how can we cleanse our way? How can we have a different way this year than last year? How can our way be clean? Well, by taking heed according to God's word. And then verse 19 or verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. So God's word reminds us of what is sin and what is not. You know, the world scoffs. You know, whether it's the sodomite thing, you know, they say we are homophobes. We're afraid of sodomy. Well, no, we fear God. That's who we fear. And because of it, we have to say, Romans chapter 1, sodomy is not natural, it is unnatural. It is not acceptable. I've read some things recently about now, finally, sodomites in the military can serve with integrity. They will never live with integrity. As long as they are in that sin, God says it's a vile sin. It's unnatural. And so man says, finally, they can serve with integrity. No. If they come out openly with their sin, that is not a life of integrity. That is a life of a vile sin. That's what God says. So the Bible reminds us of that. What is right? What is wrong? So we hide God's word in our heart. So the first thing to have the right way this year is to read the Bible. The second thing is to pray. Notice in Matthew 26, we need to pray, but we've got to have Bible reading and prayer balanced together. If all we do is pray, we're just going to be telling God our own desires. Well, what do you want this year? Well, apart from God's word, that's all we'll be saying to God, is our own desires. We've got to keep that balanced with the word of God. It's like we can only take in so much Bible preaching and so much Bible reading without giving some out. You know, the only difference between a swamp and a lake is the lake has an outlet. The swamp doesn't. The lake takes in, but it puts out. The swamp takes in, and never puts anything out. And so it becomes all moss and gross covered and stagnant. And that's the same thing that happens to us. In Matthew 26, 41, watch and what? Pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. And you can have good intentions starting out a new year, but you know what we find out real quick? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It is so weak. Goliath out there reminds us of that. You know, when we stand back, you know, Goliath looks tall, but, you know, hey, you know, it's kind of like when young boys look at each other and say, I'm just as tall as you. Well, you can see you're standing off and you know who's taller. But I mean, they're looking eye to eye, and the one is saying, I'm just as tall as you. So you can stand back and look at Goliath and say, you're not that much bigger than me. But walk up to Goliath out there. When I walk up to him, I come to about his waist, his belt. You know, when you come face to face, and it's the same thing, you come face to face with sin, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the faster we admit the flesh is weak and not depend upon the flesh, the more successful we'll be in 2011. So we must pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We could tell all of our good intentions for this year, but unless we are in God's word and unless we're in prayer, we're on swampy ground. Down in Wabasas Park years ago, I used to spend a lot of time down there, and there's a lot of areas there. They don't even mow anymore, but a lot of those areas that they did mow was like you're walking on sponges. It's just mushy, the ground. There's so many springs in the ground, and our flesh is so weak, so unstable. So we need let's go there to Luke 18. I pray that one of your intentions for this year is that you'll read the Bible through. Luke 18. We have a Bible reading schedule to help you if you don't have a schedule. Someone has said, if you don't plan on doing something, you'll succeed. And that means if we don't plan to do something, we won't do it. If we don't plan on reading through the Bible, we'll succeed. We will not read through the Bible. So we have a plan for you. Maybe you don't like that plan. Maybe there's some other plan. I can recall I worked on that plan when we were going through trials. Have you ever noticed how many things can actually be accomplished through trials? Well, we were going to a dentist at one time, and the dentist was a former Army dentist. And, you know, maybe that can bring pictures to your mind about someone working on your teeth, maybe with a jackhammer, you know, or with the pliers, you know, this big around coming at you, you know, for those tough servicemen, you know, they don't care. Yeah, pull it. I don't need any painkiller. Just pull it. Well, anyway, we were going to that dentist at the time, and our daughter, Holly, was terrified of this dentist. And this dentist was used to the military, too. So he was not very patient with her and her fears. And so anyway, it was kind of a bad experience. And so we found a different dentist after that day. And but anyway, so we had to go to a dentist then that was actually it was a children's dentist that could calm her fears. And so I spent some time there in the waiting room different times. And so it was there that in that waiting room, I'll never forget, that's where I was going through a Bible. It didn't have any notes in it. And so the pages were equal. And so I was going through the Bible page by page. Okay, this book has this many chapters. And okay, this is how many days in the year. And so it was at that dentist. I remember doing that. I was in the waiting room. People probably thought what I was doing, but counting out all these pages and writing down, counting out pages and writing down. And I searched in vain for a schedule that would put me in the Old Testament and the New Testament and also Psalms and Proverbs. I found over the years that Christians love reading the Psalms. Why? Because our lives are so much like David. Our lives are filled with trials and troubles, and we need encouragement. And so the Psalms are that. And so I just out of frustration finally decided, well, I'm going to try to make a schedule like that. And so that's what this schedule is. Each day it'll get you in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in a psalm or proverb. A lot of times people start reading the Bible and they give up. And I think sometimes if you're only reading in the Old Testament, and once you get in Chronicles, if you get that far, once you get in Chronicles, you're probably going to park or go in reverse, so neutral, something. So in Luke 18, you need to get on a plan, but Luke 18, verse 8, Luke 18, 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. Now, we need to put these things together. The other night we was talking about a crossword or a jigsaw puzzle. And it's noticing detail to get the whole picture. And in our lives, to get the whole picture of what's going on and what needs to go on in 2011, we need to pay attention to details, and this is the detail. We're never going to keep praying if we quit reading our Bible. And we're never going to keep reading our Bible if we quit praying. The two interlock together. And it's like this. When the Lord comes back, verse 8, will he find faith on the earth? Well, where do you get faith? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. How are you going to keep praying if you don't have faith? We will not. If we don't have faith, we're going to quit praying because we're going to think we're just wasting our time. And so that's why that was how the prayer list was birthed. And I know prayer lists, you have to be careful because there are all kinds of religions that have their prayer books, and that is not what the prayer list is meant to be. And it's easy to, if you make a list, to just kind of go down through it without thinking. So there is some dangers you have to be aware of using a list, because it can just be meaningless. It can be Matthew 6. It can be just be vain repetitions. But I found in my own life that I cannot remember to pray about everything I should. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many of you prayed for the peace of Jerusalem? today. I wouldn't remember to do that if it wasn't on the list. I was supposed to ask for prayer for our daughter Holly, expecting, I think, maybe a week ago. But guess what? I didn't write it down. So guess what? I didn't say it to you. So the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Will we do it? Have we done it today? Will we do it yet today? If we're not prompted from the Word of God, no. We just look. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The flesh indeed is willing. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it's these things that remind us. We're feeling downcast. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, it's kind of like when you're sick. You know, and people are always telling you, drink lots of fluids, drink lots of fluids. You know, it's real easy to say that when you're not the one sick. Drink lots of fluids, drink lots of fluids. Well, when you're sick, most of the time, you don't feel like drinking lots of fluids. And so we have to be reminded of what we need. And that's the Word of God. It's our reminder. So if you face a discouraging 2010, and you were to come to me and say, I'd really like some help to make 2011 different. I'd like to make this year a victorious year. Well, I'll just offer you five things that I heard my pastor in Chattanooga say. I think he used to call them five to thrive. Five to thrive. And he said Bible reading. Well, we've looked at that. Bible reading. Number two, praying. Prayer. So read your Bible every day. Pray every day. The next thing, faithfully attending church. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If we really believe that Jesus might come back today, tonight, this week, this month, this year, you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be gathering together all the more with the saints. That's what the Bible says. So, faithfully attending church. The fourth thing he said was witnessing. Witnessing. Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them say so. Don't be afraid. The number five was tithing. Tithing. Notice in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Years ago, I remember there was a family we'd go to, an older couple, elderly couple. And they'd always bring up, I don't wish people wouldn't do that, but they'd always bring up how they couldn't afford to give to God. And you know what? They were always in poverty. Always. Why? Well, the Bible tells us why. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man, what? Rob God? Well, where's his vault? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In what? Tithes and offerings. Now, does anyone here want a curse upon them in 2011? No, but look at verse 9. Ye are what? Cursed with a what? Curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the what? Tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and what? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? Blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we have the choice in 2011 between a blessing and a curse. If we want a curse, we'll just say, well, sorry, God, I've got to make the car payment. Or sorry, God, but I've got to have my Cheetos this week, or whatever your thing, or your Mountain Dew. You know, I've got to have it, or my Snickers bar, or whatever. I've just got to have it, Lord, and to have that, I'm sorry, but I just can't quite tie it. Well, that's one way to have a curse upon us in 2011. So, those five things. Read the Bible, pray, go to church, witness, and tithe. That's those five things my pastor repeated over and over and over. And he went to be with the Lord at 95. And I think he preached up too close that time. And maybe I mentioned this to you Wednesday night, but I just read this week that George Beverly Shea is 101 and still sings sometimes before people. You can imagine that, 101. So I was telling some of the guys Thursday night out witnessing that, you know, sometimes we just like to listen to other people sing. But, you know, the difference between listening to someone else sing and singing ourselves is we get some exercise, you know, when we sing. So you think of George Beverly Shea at 101 still having the wind to sing before people. And I always think of the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And I guess he was being honored at some Christian awards. Either he was this week or was this coming up shortly. And he was saying, I don't understand why they're honoring me. He says, I haven't sold a lot of records, and, you know, I'm not famous in that way and all that. But, boy, I wish more of these singers were like him, had that humility, and had chosen lives instead of riches and fame. But so those are just some things that would help us in 2011. But the Lord breaks things down for us. We have some math teachers here, and they don't just say, okay, here's this problem, you know, 1,498,000 divided by, you know, 79. Give me the answer. They show them step by step how to arrive at it. And I pray that you did not only intend to read the Bible through, but you've started already. And if so, let's go to Genesis 1. If you're using the schedule we have, by tonight, you should be through Genesis 4, I believe, on the schedule. But I was noticing some things as I just started back through again. And I'd just like to share with you as we're starting this new year, thinking about the beginning. In Genesis 1, verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness called he night, and the evening and the morning were the what? First day. Do you know what God did for us? He gave us a fresh start every 24 hours. Amen. What if he would have only done that? What if our days were a year long? You'd get mighty tired, wouldn't you? But every 24 hours, God gives us a fresh start. That's the way he ordained it. The evening and the morning were the first day. And you know what? When we get tired, it's hard to be spiritual the more tired we are. We get more easily irritable the more tired we are. In the morning with the children, you may have lots of patience. In the morning when you guys go to work, you may have lots of patience with other workers, with the boss. But by the end of the day, it gets more and more difficult. By the end of the day, when someone asks us to do something, what is our problem? We center more on, I'm tired. I've worked hard. Get someone else to do it. You know, whatever it is, don't ask me. I've already worked 12 or 14 hours. Ask someone else to do it. I mean, that's our mentality. Why? Because we're focused more on self. I've worked hard. I'm tired. What have you done today? See, at the beginning of the day, we are more ambitious. But by the end of the day, do we still have that servant's heart? The disciples had that problem. Notice in Matthew 14, they were tired. They weren't really thinking about others at the end of the day. They were only thinking about themselves like, Lord, I'm tired. Please send these people away. I just want to go home and rest. Matthew 14 and verse 14. Matthew 14 and verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with what? compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was, when? Evening. His disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past. Do what? Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." I know that word doesn't look like victuals, but look it up in the dictionary. That's how it's pronounced. So the old timers used to say it's time to fix victuals. But that's how you pronounce that word. But they were saying, "Lord, the time has passed. Lord, we've put in our day's time. We're tired. We don't feel like preparing all these people a meal. And besides that, we don't have the means to do it. Lord, send them away." And he said in verse 15, "that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Lord, we've worked hard all day. They've just been listening, sitting. Send them away. Find their own food. Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart." What? "Give ye them to eat." That's hard for us to do at the end of the day. It's hard for us to give at the end of the day because we're tired. We're tired. Verse 17, "And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." He commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And straightway Jesus," what? "Constrained his disciples to," what? "Get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." He constrained his disciples. If someone constrains you to do something, they're having you to encourage you to do something. Do you notice what happened here? They were asking Jesus, "Lord, the time. Jesus, is your clock working? Lord, the day is done. We're tired. Send them away." But you know what? When they saw what God did, now he has to constrain them to get them in the ship and sends them to the other side while he sends the people away. You know, the Bible says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you know, many times when we are so tired, we are so self-looking at, you know. But God just does something for our hearts when we give. You know, even the lost have that good feeling when they give. Even the lost experience it. Sadly to say it, you know, they're still not saved. It doesn't save them to give money or time or whatever. There's a lot of people that volunteer at places in Greenville, you know, community work. They're still not saved. But there's that good feeling when we give of ourselves. Whereas if we just go to bed in our selfish mode, we're probably not going to be able to fall asleep. You know, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And so he constrains the disciples to get in the ship and sends them away. So aren't you so glad that the Lord gives us, every 24 hours, he gives us a fresh start, a fresh start. He wouldn't have had to have done that. But he did. He was very gracious to do that. Notice in Lamentations 3, he knew our weakness. Lamentations 3:21. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Remember how that passage we just read about the Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Whereas the disciples, toward the end of the day, were just moved with, "Lord, with self, get him out of here." His compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new, what? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise God for the fresh start he gives us every 24 hours. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But not only a fresh start every day, but notice back in Genesis 1. God had many other points. Have you ever had computer problems? And then nowadays, the computers have on them, you can go back to a certain date, and it will refresh everything back to a certain date. Maybe you got a virus or something else in your computer, and whatever mess there might be. Computers are a lot like cars, you know. Maybe it's because they're both too computerized today. I don't know. But you can have the computer go back to a certain date and restart. You know, I probably have the wrong terminology, but I've had to do that sometimes with a computer. And there's not just one date. Every time it whatever, saves everything, you can go back to certain dates. Well, God not only did this for us in days, but notice in Genesis 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. So that's one fresh start, the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for what? Seasons. Every 3 months, God gives us a fresh start. Aren't you glad? Maybe some of the young people like the ski or ice skate. Maybe you'd like 12 months of winter. I don't know. We ought to send you on a missions trip to Brother Shoal. Amen? There's always ice and snow there. Okay, God gives us a fresh start every 3 months. Gives us a break from the heat or from the cold. He gives us a break every 3 months. Aren't you glad he did that? For seasons and for days and what? Years. So we just faced one of these. We just faced another fresh start. 2010 is gone. A year is gone. And now we have a new year. So God set those lights in the sky. And of course, the Jews went by the new moons and so on. You'll read that in the Old Testament. We're talking about calendars, days, months, years. So God gives us a fresh start. In the end of this chapter, or the beginning of chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he what? Rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So God gives us a fresh start every 24 hours, every 7 days, every 30 days, roughly. Every 365 days, God gives us a fresh start. God is so gracious to us. And yet, as we think about the lost, sometimes they take that for granted, don't they? They take for granted that, oh, in 24 hours, I'll have another chance. They take for granted, yeah, I may party this week, this 7 days. You know, between Christmas and New Year's, I may party and drink lots of liquor, but I'll just, hey, once the new year gets here, I'll have a fresh start. But they don't have any guarantee of that, do they? James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So God gives us these fresh starts, but we must not take them for granted. And the lost must not take them for granted. Oh, they think, oh yeah, I messed up in 2010, but 2011. I'll have this year for a good year. Well, maybe they won't. There's no guarantee. So we need to make sure we get the gospel out. We need to thank God for these fresh starts. But Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We don't know that we have tomorrow. We need to thank God for these fresh starts. But we need to fear God as well. Do the right thing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh. Came, was born miraculous, a miraculous virgin birth. Lived a perfect life. died on that cross, giving his pure, precious blood for our sins, that we might be saved. Lord, we thank you for that fresh start we can have in salvation when our sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. But Lord, help us not to trample upon that blood. Help us not to take it for granted and live in sin. Help us to faithfully serve you. Lord, help us this year. We don't know how many days, hours you've given to us, but help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be faithful reading our Bibles and praying, but faithfully attending your house, witnessing, tithing. Lord, help us when you come to be found faithful. So please work in our hearts. Lord, there may be some here this morning that are even starting out this new year discouraged. Maybe last year was a pretty rough year, and maybe they had good intentions for this year, that things would be different, but maybe these first 35, 36 hours have just proven to be facing the same old problems. Lord, I pray to you to encourage your hearts this morning as only you can, as you are the one that your mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. We thank you for that. So please help us and use us now, we pray, in this year to come, in Jesus' name, amen.